It's Sunday morning. Praise God. Amen. So we're excited to be here. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for inviting us to be your first guest ministers. That is awesome. It's a big honor for us. We so love the family churches, and we just can't let one be going for too long and us not be part of it. And so we started going to the family churches in 2001, right after 9/11 happened. We were here like within the week, I think. We were over in Fredonia for the first time, and just the relationship has grown over the years and the different churches that have started, and so it's a blessing for us to be a part. It's just awesome to be at the ground level of anything. You know, when you know it's really going to do something, you want to be a part of it. Amen? And so that's the way we feel about you and Courtney and this church, and so we hope that our relationship will just grow with the rest of you all. Amen? And because we're your first traveling ministers, we are also your favorite traveling ministers. And that's not going to change regardless of who comes. So, but Kevin and I both minister, preach, and teach the word. And so in these meetings, I might be preaching sometime. Kevin might be preaching sometime. We just always endeavor to follow the leading of the Spirit of God because our gifts are different. And so sometimes God just wants to break through. How many of you know there are different gifts in the body of Christ? Ephesians tells us there are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And all five of those are very interesting and very different. But, you know, even just we have five of those, but sometimes there's combinations of them too. You know, it's kind of like this. How many colors are there? I mean, you can hardly think of how many colors there are, but then you can know how many primary colors there are. How many primary colors are there? Three. Okay, we'll give you a lesson in primary colors. This is back to kindergarten here, right? There's red, there's yellow, and there's blue. All right? And so those three colors, those primary colors, in combinations, can make up every color we see. So you can't just say, oh, that's always red and it looks red and it's, you know, no, there's so very, I mean, red has many variations. Blue has many, just in itself. Then you add red and blue, you get purple. So you got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You start, you know, getting something from these other gifts. You start adding dimensions of God into your life. You let in some other colors that you haven't experienced yet. Everybody needs to redecorate every now and then, right? And so sometimes we're just very familiar with one or another. You know, we might know what we think an evangelist is, you know, and people, the world calls them televangelists because they're on TV. And now televangelist has kind of a weird connotation for a lot of people, right? So, but that's not necessarily the right color to, you know what I'm saying? And then you've got pastors, and people think, well, pastors are people who are in a church all the time. They're there every week, so that's a pastor. But we might have labels or titles, but the real importance of it is they're a gift of God. For, the Bible tells us, for the perfecting of the saints. This is God's design so that we all have that life that he planned for us to have. Amen. We all need help, in other words. But God designed the help to come from other people. And it's God through other people that help us. But it's not just those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who help us. The whole body of Christ. The Bible tells us that we are all fitly joined together. And we all have a supply one for another. Amen? And so I believe that part of what God wants to do in these meetings is help us find our place. Find our place. Because you have a place. Not only does God have a plan for your life, but there's a place you fit. You're not in this by yourself. Like a puzzle. I like puzzles. Anybody else, do you like puzzles? The problem with puzzles and me is if I start them, I can't stop. If I get a puzzle out, sometimes I just do it like on holidays. I'll get a puzzle out because I'm not committed to doing anything else, and I'll sit at a, and do a puzzle. And but I'll stay up late at night. My neck will be hurting. My back will be hurting. Poring over this thing, you know. I'm like, I got just that one that's got a tiny little piece of red on it. Where does it go? You know, trying to find that place where it. But there's only one place it fits. I was convinced last year I was doing a puzzle. I was convinced my puzzle was faulty. I was. And it was on the edge part. How can it be wrong on the edges? Right? You put all the edges together. You get a nice little frame. You kind of know how things are going. And I was putting this puzzle together. And but somehow the edge pieces, they were so tricky. Because I had them put together convinced I was right. But they never fit with the other parts. And I was getting so frustrated. And finally, it was like dawned on me, maybe I try it this way. Now I've got the right frame. It's like, oh, all this time I thought this was right. But there really is only one right fit. And God joins the body of Christ. The Bible says that God places us in the body as it pleases Him. As it pleases Him. And so if you can imagine something pleasing God, wouldn't you want to do that? You know, but so many times we kind of want our own way. But what we realize is if we would just go His way, we would really like that way. You know, we're not placed in the body as it pleases us, although if we'd be in where He places us, it will please us. Amen? But it starts with Him, kind of like that scripture Pastor already mentioned in Philippians 4. It starts with God will supply the need. We're looking for a fit, and we're looking for where we want to fit sometimes. We're looking at where it's comfortable to fit. But if we'll let Him place us, we will love that fit. We'll love that place. Amen? And so this is, and I love the name of the churches here, Family Church. Everybody say family. Families are awesome. Amen. And but where we're at, and we will turn to scripture. Don't be concerned if you're waiting. The service has already started. Yeah, I think you got that part right. The service has begun. I'm the one preaching this morning. You can relax. All right. But sometimes things with God are just conceptual. You got to get the concept, and then we'll go to the Word and play it out. Is that all right? So with families, oftentimes, you know, and the days that we're living in, I mean, we're not living in Leave It to Beaver days, yeah. Right? We're not living in whatever sitcom you grew up with, you know. Okay, I'm just revealing my age here. Yeah. But anyway, we were watching a documentary on TV last night about China, side thought here. And in China, you know, they have a one-child rule. You can only have one child. And so this person was telling how he had a dream of an American TV show, how their family was and how awesome it was. They had three kids in the family and what a dynamic it was. And he would watch that TV show and think that was amazing to have other people in the home besides he was the only child allowed. And so the guy was asking him, what is the name of the show? And he said, Pains of the Growing Up. Pains of the Growing Up. And so the guy goes, oh, Growing Pains. So there was a sitcom a few years ago called Growing Pains, right? So they had a few kids in the family and all that dynamic, right? So families have changed. The dynamic of families have changed. Thankfully, we don't have that rule here that you can only have one, right? But yet at the same time, our families really are very independent. You know, the kids will be playing video games in one room and the parents doing this and the other thing. You might have a home, but there's not, in a lot of places, there's not a lot of interaction. It's true, right? Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. And you could be at the table and everybody be on their phone. Their smartphone or their, you know. It's... And so we've got to watch out. I'm not going to get into your house and talk about your kids and your family in that respect. But what I'm saying is a church family isn't all about us just coming, taking our chair, hearing the word, going home, right? And we never interact and realize that we're a cohesive unit and that there is something that ought to happen when we come together. Because otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say, when you come together, two or three, when you come together, I'll be there. So there's something about us coming together that makes God take notice. It makes God go, oh, look, they're meeting. They're not just attending at the same time. Right? Because something happens when we come together. Why don't you look with me in the Bible to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Everybody say, when we come together, things happen. And don't you need things to happen? Don't you? I mean, don't you really need things to happen? Isn't this why we come to God? Because He's God. And if there's anything that can, anyone who can change something, it would be God. He's the one with the supply. He's the one with the answers. He's the one that has, who can supersede natural laws. Right? He can defy gravity if necessary. Amen. He's the one who has the power we're really looking to connect with. We're not just looking to get more academic information when we come to church. We're not just looking to do some American religious obligation. No, God is real. Amen. Real. Your life is real to you. Connect your real life with your real God. Don't try to separate God from your life. I don't know why people think it's separate. I come to church on Sunday, the rest of my life is up to me. God wants to do life with you. Amen. I said, God wants to do life with you. Praise God. Amen. I noticed, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I noticed a Harley shirt back here. Unmistakable. I'm a Harley person, all right? You're my people. We were shaking hands around, and I turned to Kevin. I go, my people. But see, I don't separate my motorcycle riding from my Christian life. I absolutely need God on a motorcycle. Amen, Jeff. That's right. We don't leave Him at home. Because the Bible tells us in Psalms 91 that He gives His angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways, lest we dash our foot or tire against a stone. Right? 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. Other people might go down, but not me. Right? We all don't separate and go, well, you know, my bike life is this and my God life is that. No. I'm a Christian. That means I've got Jesus on the inside of me everywhere I go. And so let's press is another way to say it. Let's purpose. Really, to make that connection with God. And what that takes is focus. It takes doing something on purpose. It really does take doing something on purpose with God. So here in Acts chapter 2, look what it says. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Everybody say one accord.
One accord.
In one place. Notice they weren't just in one place. It's not just that they were in one place that something happened. It's very important that we see they were in one accord in one place. Well, what's one accord? That's an attitude. That's something on purpose. You don't just come into a place and you're automatically in one accord just because you're in church and it sounds churchy. Right? What else, what other place could you be in and be in one accord? Really? You could be at the Rotary Club. You could be at any club and be in one accord with the other people you're with because you all have a singular purpose or a singular enthusiasm. You could all have a passion about the same thing. You could be fishing with people and be in one accord in that regard, right? Because you're all focused on the same thing. Or you could just be in one place with people. You could go to the movies. You're just in the same place, right? There's a gathering of people. They're there on purpose, but they're not in one accord. They're just there to be entertained. There's nothing that they're really doing together other than watching the same thing, right? So that's the difference. A lot of people come to church with movie mentality. I'm going to come. See what happens. See what unfolds. See what entertains me. See what I like. Maybe I like it. Maybe I don't. Right? I'm coming together. Other people see the same thing I see. We all go home. Maybe we're changed. Maybe we're not. Maybe we liked it. Maybe we didn't. We kind of go to church like that. But if we come in one accord, we're coming really expecting to meet with God because we all love him, right? And we're all hungry for him, and we can't wait to hear what he might say and how he's going to say it. Well, he's going to say it through people, right? So I can't wait to hear what pastor's going to deliver today because he's a gift from God. And God's going to use him to help us get somewhere. Wonder where it's going to be today. That's what we're coming together in one accord. That's one part of being in one accord. If you'll look back one chapter in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. When they were come in, they went into an upper room, and then the disciples were there. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord. Notice that. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So they stayed together in one accord. They would go to this place. Because Jesus said, go into Jerusalem and wait until you're endued with power from on high. He said, you're going to have an experience. Go there and wait. Well, so what'd they do? They'd go to that place with expectation that they were going to receive something from God. And they would pray, amen. And they would be worshiping God and praying together. Together. So in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, what they had been waiting for happened. Suddenly, what the Lord told them to wait for happened. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, from heaven. as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we know that is to be what we call the Pentecostal experience, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. This was the first time it happened. Amen. You keep on reading through the book of Acts, and you find lots and lots and lots of places where people were filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you know he's still doing that today? He's filling us. Amen. But you even find that people who were filled with the Holy Spirit on this particular day, on a few days later, got refilled. In one sense, replenished. Not like you have to have the same experience all over again because you lost the first one. But because how many of you know we leak? What is that? That's called life. Things that happen in life drain us, deplete us. Amen. And we've got to, when we come together, we have an opportunity to get refilled. Amen. Of course, you can stay full any number of ways on your own, but when we come together, something happens. Praise God. We have an opportunity to fill back up because there's support from the family. Praise God. Amen. But it's kind of like filling up your car at the gas station. You know, you might buy a new car, fill it up with gas, and before you know it, you got to fill it up again. Right? It's not because the car is faulty. It's not because the gas wasn't good. But the tank has a certain capacity. And once it uses up its capacity, you got to fill it back up again. And there are things in our life that absolutely take some energy, don't they? Sometimes our strength is lost. Look with me to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah chapter 40. This might be familiar to some. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. It says, he, talking about God, he gives power to the faint. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Ha, ha, ha. I like that verse even more now than I did 10 years ago. Right? Anybody amen to that? Even so, it's not an age issue. Strength is not an age issue. Strength is a spiritual issue. Because as a Christian, your strength doesn't come from the physical realm. It comes from the spiritual realm on the inside of each and every one of us. That capacity for power is in us. There is no reason for any Christian, regardless of any age, to be weak. It's unacceptable. Amen. When I feel weak, it is unacceptable to me. And it feels very foreign. Because the greater one lives in me. Amen. So if I feel weak, it's because I need to do something. I need to do something. Let's go on reading. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. for no other reason to come to church than that you get strengthened. If that was the only thing that happened, it would be worth being here. Because we all need it. Amen. But notice what it says. They that wait upon the Lord, they're the ones that will renew their strength. It didn't say they that attend church. They that wait upon the Lord. There's a lot of people who come to church and then don't do anything when they get there. They're at the movies. Right? They're just there, hoping somebody will do something for them. But with God, everything is a relationship. Every action produces a reaction, right? With God, when God initiates something, he expects us to respond. He's not calling all the shots. He has a plan. Amen. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither have entered yet into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You heard Pastor say already, he has a plan for your life. But just because he has a plan for your life doesn't mean you've seen it, heard it, or it's been in your heart yet. He has a plan. It's ready for you. And most people go through life knowing that God has a plan and never finding out what it is. God has a plan. And what do they do then? Well, I just figure whatever happens must be God's plan. And so they approach it from the experiences that they have in life must be God's will for my life. Because if he has a plan for me, this wouldn't have happened unless he planned it. But I'll be honest with you, that's not biblical. That's not scriptural. He has a plan, and it says, eye has not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered yet into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. The next verse says, but he does reveal them to us by his Spirit in the inner man. So again, everything God does is with relationship. He waits for a response from you. He'll talk, then you talk. He'll talk, then you talk. Or he'll say do, and then you do. But it's a constant interaction with him. Everything is a reaction and an action with him. For example, when Moses had his first encounter with God, there was that burning bush. Remember, you probably saw the movie. But the Bible tells us in Exodus, when Moses had this first encounter, he saw that bush burning, and he says, I'm going to turn and see what's going on here. Because there's a bush, and it's on fire, but it's not burning up. So it's still green and on fire. That's not normal. Right? But instead of just going, oh, that's interesting, and walking by, he says, I'm going to find out what's going on here. So when he turned to say, I'm going to investigate, then God spoke. Then God said, Moses. So God is, he's there, spectacular fashion. But he waited for Moses to say, I'm going to see what's going on here. And God's going, I'm so glad you did, because I want to talk. I want to talk. He wants connection. He needs it. We need it. He created us because he needed fellowship. He had angels, but he wanted people who had a free will. Don't you like it better when people want to be with you? Right? But you don't have to ask them. You you know, wouldn't it be better if they just naturally responded, I like being with you, I want to be with you, rather than, you haven't called me in 2 weeks. What's the matter with you? And then you're like, give me a break. Right? And then the next time you see them, you're not so fond of being, you know, because you feel pressured. So imagine how God feels. I just want people to come because they want to. I just want people to come because they love me. I want to love them back. But as soon as we get religious and think he's religious, we've just separated ourselves from the awesome connection he wants. He wants connection. He wants interaction. See, the world doesn't mind that we say we pray. Right? Because the world will say, well, I pray. But what they do mind is when you say God talks back. Now the world thinks you're absolutely nuts. Why would God talk to you? Who do you think you are that God would take away time from everything he's got to do to talk to you? Right? Who do you, they look at you like you're some arrogant person to say, God talks to me. Who, you judgmental, no, I'm just saying I have a conversation. I have a relationship with him. And other people say, oh yeah, I do too, I'm spiritual. But the real spiritual person is in communication with God. Not just doing all the, you know what I'm saying? Not God just doing everything or you just doing everything. There's an interaction. Always an interaction with God. So they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They're the ones who will renew their strength. Not the ones who just sit in a chair in church. Look with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Jesus was teaching in a house. It says this in verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. They were in attendance. All right? They were at the movies. At the Jesus movie. Sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why? Jesus was there. Amen? And if Jesus is there, everything he's got is with him. Amen? Everything he has comes with him. He doesn't leave power at home. So when he's there, everything he has is with him. So when two or three gather together in my name, he said, I'm there. So his power is here. So how are we going to determine who gets any of it? Who's going to get it? Everybody in the building? Not necessarily. Because there are people here sitting by. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, so they brought something. They didn't just bring a man, right? Because there was lots of men there. They didn't just bring a body. They brought faith. And he saw it. He sees it. Why? Because he looks at your heart. And that's where faith is. See, I can look out at this congregation, I could count bodies, but I can't count faith. I can't see your heart. right? I don't know. I can encourage your faith. I can give you the word which brings faith, right? But I'm not the one seeing your faith. He is, and it's a spiritual thing. He sees it because it's a spiritual force. So he saw faith. Wow. When you come expecting to have an encounter with God, God sees faith and he rewards faith. That's what he rewards. He doesn't reward attendance. You don't get the gold star for attendance, right? He rewards faith. Now, if we can get you in attendance, this is a big step towards faith, right? Because then the word will come and bring faith. But if you're born again already, why not bring faith with you when you come? Why? Part of that is your supply. Remember we're talking about your fit and your place and everything supplies together? If you bring faith, you're bringing a supply to the service, to one another. In Acts the 16th chapter, we find that Paul and Silas were put in jail, put in prison. They're in the worst part of the prison. They're in stocks. They're in handcuffs. They're in chains. They don't know when or how they're getting out, if they're getting out. So what'd they do? They praised God. Amen. Now we know the end of the story. They didn't praise God to get out of prison. They just praised God because he's worthy. Amen. And if I'm going to be in prison, I might as well be here with Jesus. Right? Because it's about my connection with him. If I'm going to be in the worst place in the world, I'm not going to leave him out. People think, well, why would you worship God in prison? Listen, that's the best place to worship him. It's where we need him. I need him in the low times. Amen? I'm not saying, I wouldn't just be in prison going, oh man, he left me alone. No, I'm going to invite him to come along. Right? So there they are in the worst position possible, and they lifted up their voice and praised God. Well, what happened was, all of a sudden, God showed up. Why? Wherever two or three gather together in my name, I'll be there. And all of my power will be there too. Why? Paul and Silas expected an encounter. They didn't know what the results would be. They just knew he would be. And when he showed up, their bands were busted off. The prison shook. And the Bible tells us that everyone's bands were loosed, not just Paul and Silas. When you come in faith, when you make a connection with God, you offer a supply to those around you. There are times when you know your brothers and sisters in the Lord, are not everybody's at the same place at the same time. As far as this, spiritually at the same place is what I'm saying. We've gone through different things. You don't know what I've been through the last few days. I don't know what you've been through the last 3 days. But if we come together and we come in faith, you can help me. I can help you. I've got something. I can help you. Everyone's bands got loosed because Paul and Silas worshiped God wholeheartedly, and his presence came. Psalm says that he inhabits the praises of his people. He doesn't just inhabit the attendance of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. So to be in one accord, it's not just attendance. It's heart, it's focus, it's purpose. So here Jesus is teaching. He saw faith. And you probably know the end of the story. He said, man, your sins are forgiven. Now the Pharisees got upset. Who are you telling? You can't say that. Only God can say that. And Jesus is basically saying, what's your point? Right? But he said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? You can't say rise up and walk to somebody on your own. It's only the power of God, right? Only the power of God who forgives. Only the power of God who heals. Really heals. Doctors assist, but they don't have the power to heal, right? They can help find out what's wrong. They can correct a few things. You know, they can surgically do some things or medicate some things and help the body do what it does, right? But they don't have the power to heal. Only God has that. Only God has the power to save. You cannot save yourself. I don't care how many good things you do. Right? You can't. It's only in the hand of God. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Our reaction to what he has already given makes the connection. Everything with God is that way. We have to respond in some way from our heart. So all these people were in a room sitting by. The power of God was present to heal them, and only one person got healed. What was the difference? Faith. Purpose. Not just attendance. Not just hearing a word. But they came with a purpose. I need what you have. I need what you have. We must acknowledge our need for him. We've got to humble ourselves and say, I can't do it all by myself. He's not expecting you to do it all by yourself. He would like to know, though, that you're expecting him to help and to do. Amen? So how do we make that connection? We talk about the need for a connection all day long. Right? And the difference between connecting with him or just attending, but what makes that connection with him? What makes that connection? How do you do that? Well, how do you do that? See, it all sounds good, doesn't it? We're saying some really good lingo. How is it done in the service? Okay, you can get in his word. You can open your heart. Let me show you. How about we show you? Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. All those sound really good, and they're part of it. But you and I both know that even reading the word, how many of you know your mind can wander? It's never happened to you, right? How many of you know that your mind can wander at any given time during any activity? Right? To do anything with your whole heart, you've got to set your mind to it. It doesn't just happen. Anything. Even things that you're really good at. You got to set your mind on it, right? Like I said, we like to ride motorcycles. And just brings a lift in the service, doesn't it? No. But to get good at it, it takes a little practice. And when we first started riding, we were given a Harley, which is awesome. And this is a great testimony in itself. And so Kevin, you know, we had these great plans to do the whole couple thing, you know, because we'd seen couples ride and, you know, and the wife's on the back and they're going on trips and all that. And so we had the whole plan. So I get on the back with him and he's like, what do you think? I went, didn't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? I said, you're having all the fun and I'm looking at your helmet. And so I thought, I think I want my own because that looks like way more fun. And I have never been at the controls of a motorcycle ever in my life. I just thought, this is really, you know, pretty fun, but it looks like it's way more fun in the front. And so I went to a motorcycle safety course to learn how to ride a motorcycle. Well, they're real small motorcycles, real small bikes. And I'm telling you, I learned to focus in a hurry. Because when you're on a motorcycle, wherever you look, that's where you're going. They tell you that too. That's how you turn. That's how you make, you know, tight corners. You turn your head and your bike will go that way. And so I had to learn that kind of thing. But now then you have to set your mind to it, right? And Kevin is diligent at, like, if anybody says, say a word that describes your husband, diligent. He's diligent about everything. If he finds something he likes doing, he's going to be diligent to practice it until he gets really good at it. Now, he's pretty good at just about everything he tries, but he's going to even be better at it because he's going to practice. So he found a parking lot that wasn't very occupied. It was a pretty new place and had, you know, those little islands and everything. And he would take his bike and do all kind of maneuvers through the parking lot, do power stops and all this kind of stuff and swerving and parking in tight places. And he can maneuver that Harley. I mean, I trust him completely on that. And so he can maneuver that thing anywhere because he's set his mind to it. Well, he bought me a small bike to start. And I was like, I mean, you had to peel my hands off. I mean, I took the safety course and all that. He bought me this little motorcycle and we lived on a private road. And all I did was go up and down our little private road. Just up and down the little private road. And finally, one day, he says, follow me. He's on the big Harley. I'm on the little bike. Follow me. I'm like, okay. He goes, trust me. Okay. He took me on, like, real roads. Okay. With other cars and stuff. Two-lane roads where they're coming kind of close, you know. And and it was kind of chilly that day anyway, but, I mean, I was shivering when I got off because of many reasons. And you know how the cool thing, you know, the bikers, they always, you know, wave, right? They just put the hand down and wave. So we're riding, another bike comes. I'm like, I'm not taking my hand off this handlebar at all, you know. And just do the, yeah, I'm cool. We got it. So we finally get to where we went. I got off the bike, you know, peeled my hands off the handlebars, got off, and I was like, I did it! I did it! I did it! I made it, and, you know, it was a huge accomplishment. But the thing is, you have to purpose to do it, to make up your mind to do it. We play golf. Same thing. Anything you are excited about doing, you got to get your head into it. And I'll admit, when we play golf, my head's not always into it. His head's always into it. Because again, he's diligent. So we get out there and I'll play a few good holes and my mind will wander and I'll hit a shot and he'll say, you know, this is what you did or this is what you didn't do or whatever. And I go, I know, I wasn't even thinking. It is like, you know, I'm just going to swing the club. Whatever happens, happens. Well, it doesn't just happen. Good stuff doesn't just happen. You have to think about it. Why is church, why is God any different? We think because he's God, things will just happen. And we'll come to church and church will just happen. No, we've got to get our mind in the game. We've got to, our whole spirit and soul and body has to be here. If our minds can wander at the grocery store, our minds can wander here, right? If our minds can wander in the car, our minds can wander here. And so we've got to bring ourselves here and present ourselves. Romans says, present your body a living sacrifice. See, in the Old Testament, remember, they had to bring a sacrifice. They had to bring something. What did that do? That got their mind on what was happening. They had to, on purpose, go find the thing that was blameless, that didn't have any, you know, any blemishes. Okay, I'm going to find the right thing. Why? I'm coming to God.